Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
If your hair isn't performing like it used to, the answer isn't another hat. It's a proactive approach. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand. It's also NSF certified for sport and the official hair growth partner of Major League Baseball, the only hair growth supplement trusted by the pros. Visit Nutrafol.com, enter promo code PMT. Get $10 off your first month subscription, and you get free shipping. That's NUTRAFOL.com, promo code PMT.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm going to make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 116 of season 2. Jeff D. Lowe, Ken Jack, and Chris Castellani coming at you today with a...
What the fuck? What? No Gooch?
What'd I say?
Just completely passed over me.
Yeah, no Gooch today. Sorry.
Your baseball team's too good.
Not anymore. We lost two in a row.
That's it. He's off the wagon now. There's no hat.
It's over.
It's no comeback from that.
He's like, nah. I only do double digit winning streaks. Gooch joining us in a very nice, very nice shirt today.
Yeah, got my No Country for Old Men. We're gonna talk some Coen Brothers or Coen Brother.
Coen Brother.
Coen. You know what I bought today or yesterday is a Tomb Raider Pepsi promotional shirt. It says Raid the Pepsi on it. I bought it on eBay.
That's a fine.
It says Raid the Pepsi in giant on the back, and then the front is just Pepsi with like Laura Croft on it. It's fucking, it's awesome.
How many people do you think stole Pepsi from their local stores thinking that's what that meant?
Raid the Pepsi. And then I got like an Alta Vista or something, some old ass Windows operating like debut shirt. What was it? It was really funny. Maybe it was Primavera. Does that sound like it was a
Windows operating? No, because it'd be Vista XP.
Primavera Windows Tech computer t-shirt.
All I'm imagining is just a Dan Flash's shirt with like that computer background.
Oh no, it is the most basic shirt you'll ever see in your life, but they were very funny. I wonder if I could find them later. I'll look for it.
We also speaking of Pepsi, I walked by the grocery store last night. You know, like those soda stream things?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they do like Coca-Cola and Pepsi products for those now.
I think certain ones, they don't really sell them like everywhere, which kind of sucks. I have a soda stream.
I can't taste right.
Yeah. I have a soda stream, but they only have like, you know, it'll be like Dr. Perth or some shit. Yeah. Like they don't have the actual brands.
Boy, you'll be stunned to learn that they actually bottle this. Buy as is. So we'll talk Coen Brother, just one singular brother. Oh, yeah.
It's disgusting.
Diet Cola.
It's terrible. Yeah. It tastes like fucking RC Cola.
I think my family, no offense to them, I won't say their name, said that Sam's Club Diet Cola and regular Coke is better than Coke and Diet Coke. I was like, oh.
I mean, no offense to your family, Jeff. Like,
who said that? I know, because my family's Costco shoppers. Somebody said the Sam's Cola. Who just said that to me? I got to remember. Whatever, you're an idiot, whoever you are.
I got my bed from Sam's Club.
Not bad.
That's kind of awesome. I'm
about to buy a bed from Costco.
It's actually very comfortable.
Sam's Club has a significantly worse reputation just solely because of their association with Costco. But it truly isn't that much. Like, there's really not much difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, it's like you're not really getting much. They sell a lot of things in big boxes, and they have churros. Like that's really like the crossover. They just have to be next to Walmart's. So yeah, we'll talk about that. We have the rare comedy movie No Hard Feelings with Jennifer Lawrence.
All right, let's talk about Rocket Money. Do you know how much money you're spending on subscriptions every month? Not a lot of Americans do. Well, you know what? You need Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower all of your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions that they forgot about, and chances are you're one of them. like that Stars app that you got just to watch one show, or a free gaming trial that you never actually used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily find your subscriptions for you. And if any of you don't want to pay for anymore, just hit cancel. And then Rocket Money will cancel it for you. It's that easy. Rocket Money also helps you find and manage all of your finances in one place and automatically categorize your expenses so that you can easily track your budget in real time. And you can get alerted if anything looks off. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money and saving the average person up to $720 per year. I used Rocket Money to help me find a Microsoft subscription for Xbox that I haven't been using since 2014, something like that. Helped me cancel it. I was losing like $16 a month. It's kind of embarrassing in retrospect. But I didn't want to have to deal with all the customer service, and Rocket Money does all that stuff for you. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lights. That's rocketmoney.com/lights. rocketmoney.com/lights.
I guess we can talk about things that we've watched and any recent things. Chris, have you seen The Flash?
Not yet.
When you see
really?
It,
oh man,
when you see it, you got to let us know. I saw somebody that who hates superhero movies that said they love that. I think it was like Adnan Verks. Like, I finally liked a superhero movie. I'm like, this is the first one.
Really? That's like so connected to the other. That's like half of the joy is its connection to other superhero movies.
There is a nostalgia lane for people who are maybe a little older with Keaton. I can see. He did mention that.
Klimmer loved it.
Okay.
Yeah, Klimmer did love it.
Because he's a massive Keaton Batman guy.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
If that's the case, I could definitely see it.
He's actually a big Ezra Miller guy.
That also makes sense.
That checks out.
He wears that shirt easy as. He's always carrying that, selling the Barstool store. Okay, let's start out with some trailers, I believe, we have here. First up is a very interesting trailer called The Challengers from Luca Guadagnino, who did Call Me By Your Name. Also did
– this movie's going to blow up.
Also did Suspiria with Dakota Johnson, which – I don't love, but I really respected it. Like, I just, there was like something to it. It was like, all right, this was interesting. It was very artsy. I Am Love, another movie that came out about 10 years ago with Tilda Swinton, which I thought was pretty good. I know Ken Chuck and I liked it decently. We were not big Bones and All people, but some people thought Bones and All was like a top three movie of last year.
That was crazy. That was fucking crazy.
So like, I'll even give him that. Like, I didn't love Bones and All, but there is a track record from Luca Guadagnino to make some pretty wild stuff. This is very interesting. Here's the premise of it. Stars Zendaya, Mikey Fast, who you will likely recognize from the West Side Story.
It starts out with a guy putting on a faulty O-ring, and then some poor people get onto a shuttle on an ill-fated journey.
Oh, no. Burned in the atmosphere.
No. Josh.
Oh, the humanity.
Took me a while on that one. Josh O'Connor follows three players who knew each other when they were teenagers as they compete in it. This is, by the way, this synopsis tells you this trailer, by the way, I actually would suggest not watching this trailer. It seems like they show a lot. They show what could only be described as the full movie in 2 minutes and 15 seconds. But the synopsis is the exact opposite. So we'll try to split the difference here. Follows three. This is like when we went to go see Death of Stalin, and like they went to the theater and like, this is not a biopic.
Yeah.
Imagine reading it like a tennis fan and then them going to see this movie. Like, what the fuck? Follows three players who knew each other when they were teenagers as they compete in a tennis tournament to be the world famous Grand Slam winners and reignite old rivalries on and off the court. Imagine, and you're like, oh, see, yeah. New tennis movie. So basically the premise of the movie is Zendaya is a superstar young tennis player. It starts, the beginning of the trailer starts out early in their careers, and Josh O'Connor and Mikey Fest, who I think I can't tell if like one's a ball boy or something. Like, I don't, anyway, they both try to court Zendaya's character, and they end up having a three-way. She ends up marrying the Mikey Fast character. I believe he becomes her coach. She hurts herself. It's a whole tennis thing. I'll stop there if you don't want to watch and like know the rest of the trailer. But it's a love triangle. And then it buds into rivalries and stuff, which is not shocking. That's a lot of like what Luca Guadagnino does with his movies, love, romance type things, but in a much different twist.
Peaches.
Trailer looked really cool. We saw, I think, way too much of it, but I liked the trailer.
Yeah, I'd rather watch 7 Days in Hell and then rewatch. What was that movie? I always forget the name of it, where it was like Ed Norton and Ben Stiller as like a priest and a rabbi that were trying to have sex with a woman. And they're like best friends. Like it was like their best friend growing up or something. It was really fucking weird. I remember watching it on comment, like something Ed when I was Norton? A kid. It was Ed Norton played a rabbi, I think, which is, or no, Ed Norton was the priest. Ben Stiller was the rabbi. And then I think it was like Cameron Diaz was the girl. And it was like a big love triangle movie. I don't even remember. Fuck. It's annoying me. But yeah, I'd rather just rewatch Seven Days in Hell because I fucking love them. Keeping the Faith. There it is.
I don't remember Keeping the Faith at all.
I'd rather watch that. But I'd rather do 7 Days in Hell. I feel like this is Bones and All 2, like a spiritual successor in a way. And Bones and All was a movie like we just talked about. Like people wanted that up for like Oscar hype and shit. But that was just like a movie buoyed by stan accounts. And I just didn't get it. I was not a huge fan. So I don't know. I mean, sure, it'll probably be like I like Luca Guadagnino or whatever they pronounce the Italian name a lot. Because Call Me By Your Name was an awesome movie. But I don't know. I'm not the trailer didn't sell me, especially because of the fact that, like Jeff said too, they just give you the entire movie.
Chris, I know you're a big Mikey Fast guy. He worked great.
Yeah, no, I mean that's fucking riff, dude. I mean, yeah, I feel like this movie was kind of it's kind of made for me in a certain way. It's a tennis movie starring Zendaya and Riff. I mean, it looks. I mean this in a good way. It looks kind of trashy.
Yeah.
Like I have a feeling. I have a feeling this movie is going to do really well. Zendaya is everywhere right now. I mean, Zendaya can't take her fucking trash out without being fucking, you know, on the cover of a magazine. So I think it'll do well. I hope they like really dive into the trashy elements of it. You know, I hope they don't try to make this dignified. Give me the smut, and I'm all fine with that. I mean, like I Zendaya is like outside of her just being like naturally very a powerhouse actress with the right projects. I mean, she's great. She's great in Euphoria. She was great in Malcolm and Marie. I don't know the other guy, but I know, you know, Faith was incredible in West Side Story. So yeah, I mean, this might be all right.
He was in, he plays, fucking what's his face? Old Bag of Bones King over there. The fucking King. He played
King,
the literal King of England.
I don't recognize a king in England.
King Charles. He plays King Charles in Prince Charles in The Crown. Josh O'Connor.
Yeah. I never finished the last season of that show.
He plays. So he plays him seasons. when he's you know Charles. He's just like the
Prince. I caught out when they got rid of Matt Smith as a Prince. Was a King. God, Philip.
So they're all coming. By the way, they're all coming back for the final season of The Crown. Every iteration of the King and Queen.
I kind of love that. I've never watched a single episode, but when I saw that news item, I was like, fuck yeah, bring them all back.
Into the royal verse. The
Infinite Crisis. Yeah, and
multiverse royal movie.
Crisis on
Infinite Crisis. Dude, I fucking love that.
Every corgi she's ever owned.
I like the show quite a bit, and I think I've not all the way through. It is, Ken Jack, I think you said it, or someone said it to me, said it is – it's a dense show to get to. It's very British, and you do hit a point where you need to stop. You're just like, I can't binge this anymore. It's so British, and it's so slow. But
it's not a bingey show. You know what I mean? It's like there's so many great like Netflix did make so many great shows that were perfect to binge because like it's so like snappy, keep your attention. The Royals was never that.
It's powerful,
but like,
and it's like, it's really well. But I would agree. I've liked everything I've seen in the show, but Matt Smith, Claire Foy, it was tough to top. They were so fucking good.
Mm-hmm. Until we saw him in old Morbius doing the dance. God damn, that was a good dance. He got shit on for that. I think that was a good scene for him. He did a good job in that dance.
I wonder what he was.
Oh yeah, no, he did. He's the one guy in that. Well, Jared Harris as well. The one guy in that movie that knew what it was. Like he knew that movie was shit. So he's like, fuck it, let's just have fun.
Mm-hmm. Jared Harris, almost forgot he was in it.
That's
Going back to this trailer, by the way, Chris, you said you want them to make sure they have smut. I personal guarantee Luca will have plenty of smut in this. This will be smutty as hell.
Mm-hmm. It'll like, be.
I'm looking at the trailer, those two guys are going to fuck. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Those two guys are fucking. I hope they fuck a tennis ball.
They do the peach.
Yes, they do the peach scene, but it's a fucking Spalding.
I love that.
Ken Jack did make a joke saying that this movie would blow up because he was making a very clear joke about the space shuttle. But I actually
And
my favorite type of joke.
Not just, that I missed the joke, but I also kind of thought you were being serious because I could see this movie being like one of those random social media movies that like it's so horny. Yeah, so horny, so much smut. Zendaya. Like, I do think this is going to get some like pretty. It's also like Bones and All was definitely weird, but it's a fucking cannibal movie. I think there's a limit of like.
Yeah.
And it did. Bones and All did well, and people loved it on social media. But like, I do think this has probably a little more palatable. I could see this becoming kind of a big thing.
Well, I mean, isn't that why people – I know it's been won Emmys and shit, but isn't that kind of why Euphoria is what it is? Like, I mean, I get it. It's well shot and there's really good actors, but like nobody really talks about that on social media. It's always – it's the memes. It's the fucking people freaking out. It's Sydney Sweeney's tits. Mm-hmm. Like that's – yeah. So I think we might have kind of a similar reaction with that.
I can see it.
Gooch, thoughts?
About what?
The movie we're talking about. Not Euphoria.
Challengers?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'll be there day one. I like them including that little line in the trailer. I don't know if you guys saw the tweet, but it was like Zendaya on her press tour between Dune and Spider-Man. And it's like, because she said in the trailer, she's like, I got to take care of my little white boys.
Yeah. I like that.
So that looks interesting. There was a screenshot of just her sitting on the bed with the two of them. And I'm like, let's. I didn't realize it was Luca Guadagnino. I was like, what is this fucking thing? And then you see it's him, and I'm like, oh, you know what?
Luca Guadagnino.
Like, I didn't like Bones and All, but like, again, I can kind of respect and I get why people liked it. So I'm not gonna hate on them for that. Will it be as good as the movie Wimbledon? I don't know.
I rewatched Call Me By Your Name this week because I'm an ally. That movie fucking rules.
Nick had my favorite Pride float tweet of the weekend where he was on the float going downtown, the Barstool float, and he's like, I'm not an ally. I just needed a bus downtown.
I was at the bar yesterday watching Lawrence Taylor highlights. Don't get it twisted.
First trailer for Ethan Coen's Driveaway Dolls.
That's the Garfield guy, right?
Not Coen Brothers. This is just an Ethan vehicle. Joel seems to be not involved in any way, shape, or form. Stars Margaret Qualley, Beanie Feldstein, Pedro Pascal, Matt Damon, and Geraldine Viswanathan, I believe how she say it. That's close.
Yeah, never have ever.
Releases in September. Yep. Jamie regrets her breakup with her girlfriend while Marianne needs to relax in search of a fresh start. They embark on an unexpected road trip to Tallahassee, but things quickly go awry when they cross paths with a group of inept criminals. Looks like a lot of Pedro Pascal flashback, like murdery scenes. Matt Damon seems to be some sort of ringleader or heavily involved his character. I don't know. I don't know how I feel. Like, I like everyone involved with this. I can't tell if it's going to be good or not, though. I don't have as much of like a read on this.
Yeah, I say we let Gooch go first and blow his load already. Number one, Margaret Qualley, adultfeetfinder.com admin.
Listen, I'm a Margaret Qualley stan. I don't know. There's something about her. Very entertaining to me.
I always forget she was in The Leftovers, by the way.
How do we feel about the accent? I saw people complaining about it, but then I was like, have you seen a Coen Brothers movie? They always have ridiculous, like there's always at least one or two characters that just have over the top, like parochial accents.
I want to go to Pancake House. Like that's kind of the gist
like,
of them.
There's always like a super like meek Matt Damon role too. Like that, or you can already tell he's like, yeah.
I think this looks funny. I mean, it looks like lesbian Dumb and Dumber. So I'm all for it.
Lesbian Dumb and Dumber. That's...
I mean, it got it off.
You sold it there. You sold it there.
That's great. Yeah.
I don't know.
But lesbian Dumb and Dumber.
Getting a lot of comedies this year. Obviously, we're about to talk about one, but it's nice to see. It really is.
Lesbian Dumb and Dumber. Yeah, I don't. I think it looks funny in the trailer. Like Beanie Feldstein's role looks funny. Like, I do think the two of them look funny together. It's like it's just a bunch of flashbacks of Pedro Pascal very clearly. So like, I'm curious how much he's actually in it.
We saw all of it. I think.
I think we saw all the scenes.
That was a smart marketing.
So yeah, I don't know as much on this one. Like again, I think we can all pretty much know what to expect with Challengers. This one, you know, I mean,
yeah, explosions.
The Coen brothers have their misses, you know, so
tragedy, yeah. Loss of life.
Ken Jack and I were really, people were upset with us. We didn't like Buster Scruggs. Remember that?
Yeah, they were furious. People so, like, how do you not like Buster Scruggs? I was like, because that wasn't particularly great. Like, what the fuck you want from me?
Let's see their movies. Hold on. Coen brothers filmography.
I mean, Garfield, then Buster Scruggs, then...
These guys fucking stink.
Yeah.
Blood Simple. I'm amazing.
Raising good movie. He's saying Hallelujah.
I'm not even going to read their first, like, 10 movies. So I'll start with, like, obviously Intolerable Cruelty is just, like, a very different everything. Yeah.
What they did to the Mets, I don't know.
Man Who Wasn't There.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
The Lady Killers, which I think I've only seen one time in my life. Maybe twice. No Country for Old Men. I mean, that's obviously a masterpiece. Burn After Reading was a movie that I always wanted to.
Very underappreciated. Good. Underappreciated.
It's good. I like it. It's a movie that I think it because it came out right after No Country for Old Men, I think it didn't get maybe the respect it deserves. It's not perfect by any means, but every time I watch it, I like
it. Brad Pitt and Malkovich, they fucking kill me in that. Brad Pitt and Malkovich, they are the absolute stars. They kill me, dude.
It's so fun.
It has one of the funniest death scenes ever in a movie.
With the closet.
Yeah, oh,
in the
Brad
closet.
Pitt coming out of the closet. Fucking
George Clooney just shoots him in the fucking face.
That's perfect.
A Serious Man is incredible.
He's like smiling too.
True Grit is awesome. Inside Llewyn Davis I love. So, look, I guess they really haven't had as many.
I like Llewyn
Davis. I don't know. Hail Caesar was one that a lot of people didn't love. I still like Hail Caesar because I'm a simp for Hollywood movies. I think
Murder That a Tour is one of the great scenes they may ever wrote.
What movie do we have lowest ranked for them?
Probably Buster Scruggs.
It's got to be Scruggs. Well, honestly. Scruggsy.
But Scruggs also, it's like anthology. It's like tough to count that against like.
It went straight to Netflix, right?
But like it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. See?
No, Lady Killers. Lady Killers, duh. That makes sense. Lady Killers, 58. Yeah. And then Intolerable Cruelty. And then Buster Scruggs. And then it jumps up. Everything's an 80 or above from there on out.
But that's also them, not with one of them.
True.
So we never know.
Because when it's just one of them, it's Joel's soul is Tragedy of Macbeth.
Yeah, which is good. That was very dense, but that was good.
It was awesome. And Ethan's, this is his first solo direct.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mostly know him for that bad Verlander contract, but they're going to regret that. They should be sellers this offseason, or this there at the deadline.
By the way, not to get too inside Barstool, because whatever, but. Coen, the owner of the Mets, not wanting to take a picture with our lovely coworker Frank the Tank because Frank is mean about his billion-dollar team is the fucking lamest shit in the world.
Yeah,
it's the ultimate. Like time. I don't get if you don't like Frank the Tank and you don't like his rants and I get mad at Frank too sometimes, but like just take the fucking pic. Take the fucking take the goddamn picture. I mean,
Pete Alonso came out and presented him a fucking jersey, and like Frank has probably told him he deserves to like be hung or something. You know what I mean? Like,
just take the fucking picture, man. Whatever.
By the way, you see, he's being portrayed by Vincent D'Onofrio in the GameStop
movie.
Portrayed
by Vincent D'Onofrio in a movie. Just take the picture with Frank
as a bad guy.
Yeah, like
as a bad guy. True. That's the best part.
He talks like the Kingpin.
He's like,
Frank, literally, he does.
I'll do the when movie, I was a boy, I'm not Frank. Getting out of character for Daredevil.
When I was a boy, Frank.
I was a boy.
Vanessa.
James.
He was deliriously horny for that poor Vanessa.
Vanessa. Please.
James Mangold, speaking of Marvel, says that he wishes Wolverine wasn't in Deadpool 3.
Fair.
Oh, really?
He also said he wrote him in Deadpool storyline, didn't he? So, like, that feels like I don't know.
So there's always going to be another Wolverine, as much liquid as they can squeeze out of the rag, they're going to try to, which is an interesting thing to say when you're doing on a press tour for Indiana Jones, by the way. It is.
Exactly.
Just like, I mean, whatever. He's not wrong, and he made one of the three best comic movies ever made, in my opinion. Nominated for an Oscar. Yeah. Because I don't measure my success in a movie like Logan with whether we ended this conversation. I ended my conversation. Okay, like it's fine. But I don't know. All right.
He's dragging like the uninterested corpse of Harrison Ford across this press tour for Indy 5.
Yeah.
A movie made what? 50 years after the first one.
Which, man, I don't want to get too into it now because it's too hard to tell. And it's 123 reviews. That's 63% around tomatoes. And it's very hard to, I don't know. It seems like it's going to lean more as a miss than a hit than Indiana Jones.
At least they will be killing Nazis this time instead of Cate Blanchett. I feel like that's the biggest plus Indy's got going for it.
Went back to the roots of just killing Nazis.
Exactly. Murdering Nazis. That's the Indy special. It always works.
That, you know what would be a great crossover? Wolverine with Indiana Jones, him killing Nazis. No, give.
He did. And the opening sequence of X-Men Origins Wolverine. I mean,
we've talked about this so many times. That should have just been the movie. Have been the movie.
Dude, he was in fucking D-Day. I didn't read that in the history books. It was sick.
It was so awesome.
Dude, fucking, they had Sabretooth like running up the ramparts into a pillbox. It was fucking awesome.
He's committing like a mutiny. Sabretooth was like causing a mutiny, like killing his fellow soldiers.
Dude, he was doing the My Lai Massacre in Vietnam. It was fucking insane.
You know what? That opening scene of Origins is legitimately awesome.
Yeah.
I do find it funny that these guys fight in every single major war since since the Civil War, and they never get promoted. They're like, oh yeah. they never become like sergeants or anything like that. They're just like private generals,
and they still love it too. That's the weirder part. Like they just go through the horrors of war every single like five years.
You can't die.
This shit rocks. Yeah.
If you can't die, you might as well fucking start wrecking.
You figure every friend or person you ever meet is dying around you. You might have a little bit more of like a nihilistic view towards like war and shit, I guess. But like they're just like, nah, fuck it, I'm gonna go kill these dudes. I love that. It was like basically the Lieutenant Dan flashback sequence, except it was cool.
what a roast from Noah Berlatsky of NBC News Think. Unfortunately, the latest Indiana Jones installment continues a Hollywood tradition of punching Nazis without doing much to explain why Nazis are bad or how you recognize them.
Do we need to explain why Nazis are bad?
He said in a review, he goes, oftentimes Hollywood does use Nazi just as a synonym for bad, but I mean, I get,
because they are.
They are the synonym for bad. Like, I guess he's saying that Hollywood doesn't do a good enough job explaining why Nazis are bad.
Let's hear their side.
Who is this guy? He's a writer for NBC News Think. I mean, like, I will know. I have. It's too bad that decades of anti-Nazi films have seemingly done so little to inoculate the U.S. politely against fascism.
Please have a German last name.
He says we simplify
Nazis.
Does he
think we need to inoculate
us? He says we simplify Nazis much in movies, which like I'll play devil's advocate. I do understand what he's trying to say, but I also don't think like
we need you don't this isn't a movie about World War II. It's about a fucking dial of destiny,
give the villain some depth.
If you're doing like a fucking legit movie about World War II or something like that, and you want to like dive more into the weeds on that, sure, it's not that. It's Indiana Jones stealing a magical artifact. Like, you don't like the biggest thing that you can give an audience is like we all know Nazis equal bad. You don't need to explain that anymore in an Indiana Jones movie.
Captain America compares Loki and the Avengers to Hitler because he is standing above everyone else, which really wasn't the uniquely bad thing about Hitler.
What?
Well, I mean, like,
why is this guy like Nazis so much?
No, I mean, he likes them. He's saying he's saying Hollywood doesn't hate them enough, basically. He's saying Hollywood simplifies Nazis too much, and we don't make them out to be as bad as they should be, or we don't explain why they're bad as much.
I think they are as bad as they should be because everyone immediately associates them in any movie with the worst evil you could possibly have.
That is as great of
a fucking compliment towards their evilry that you could give them. You know what I mean? They don't need explanation. That's how evil they are to everybody.
So
it's just the tragedy.
None of this means Hollywood is responsible for a resurgence of fascism, but it's too bad that decades of anti-Nazi films have seemingly done so little to inoculate the U.S. politely again.
What the fuck is he talking about? Who is this idiot?
Guy's a bozo.
What is strange? What a strange take.
Yeah. What's the one trick pony?
What's the succession? Also, what's the anchor on Succession?
It's Ravenhead.
This is
what's inherently wrong with Rotten Tomatoes. This has nothing to do with Dial of Destiny. This counts as a negative review.
Right.
Counts as a rotten review. Right. He doesn't even talk about the quality of the movie.
It's a fucking diatribe on like Hollywood on a whole. It has nothing to do with the movie.
It reads like something that belongs in the Atlantic.
That's so mm-hmm. – that's like that right there. Like that should not count as a review for Rotten Tomatoes. And that's not even me trying to defend this movie.
Or as a review for Indiana Jones.
Yeah, the movie might suck, but I don't think it's going to suck because the Nazis weren't mean enough or whatever the fuck this guy's trying to say. Like,
also, how evil can you make a Nazi in a fucking children's adventure movie too?
Like he wants like the movie to just stop on the fucking tracks and be like, okay, let's go on a real fucking deep dive around eugenics and why the Nazis are bad. Like, you don't need that. Everyone knows they're evil. Everyone knows why they're evil. It's like the number one thing you learn is like, don't be a fucking Nazi.
Now I'm looking at this person's reviews because I just kind of want to see.
Oh boy.
It'd be funny if every single one of their reviews mentioned Nazism in some capacity.
Lesson in how Hollywood can make you care about anyone and how it nonetheless over and over keeps insisting that we care about the same affluent white guys winning for capitalism. Just watch the Michael Jordan movie. Just watch the Nike movie. Just like
Jesus Christ, man.
At least that's a review of the movie, like, I guess so. It's just like, oh my God.
It's fucking crazy, man. I can't even think of like a good like analogy for like what else to, like something you could compare to that, because this guy's so fucking lost in the weeds.
So strange.
Huh. What a bozo.
Guys, I'm going to throw a take out there. You guys can push back on it. Hitler, bad.
Yeah.
Bad guy. Never liked him.
Synonymous with the worst evil. To like 99% of the world, synonymous with the worst evil one could possibly commit, okay. And yet not enough.
Okay. I'm glad that you guys share that opinion too. I was hesitant to throw that one out there.
After reading the review, that is.
Yeah.
After hearing this dude's
review. I like how most of his reviews are super. He did like Don't Worry, Darling is a movie that airily warns you to watch out for illusions, even as it revels in a film's power to create a world deliberately untethered from reality. These are all very political and politically and social driven. And then he reviewed Black Adam and just went, Black Adam doesn't exactly have a plot. Instead, it's got massive exposition dumps interspersed with endless poorly motivated and inventively choreographed fights. He just like, yeah, fuck my normal reviews. Black Adam stinks. Don't go see Black Adam.
But that's a better review to me. When I read a review, I don't need to read some flowery language. Just say, you know what, I thought this movie was bad.
Thesaurus reviews are the worst in the entire world.
It's just annoying that they do, like, again, like, some of these are reviews, but like that one, again, that one specifically for Indiana Jones, like, whatever, make your point, like, that's whatever. But that should not count as a bad review for Rotten Tomatoes.
Should not count as a review, because it isn't a review. Dial of Destiny.
Nope.
That sounds like a character from fucking what's it called? Succession. Who's the journalist that Shiv had the affair with? Was his name Nate?
He was like the chief of staff. He was the campaign manager.
Who's the author Claire sleeps with in House of Cards?
Tom? Come on, we gotta know this. We're the House of Cards guys.
Tom Bombadil?
Yeah. No, you wish. Tom, House of Cards. Let's see. Tom Hammerschmidt? No, Tom Yates.
Hammerschmidt was the
Wall Street editor.
Yeah. Tom Yates.
Work hard and hydrate hard with Body Armor Flash IV. Whether you're working in extreme heat or powering through a long shift, Body Armor Flash IV delivers faster, longer-lasting hydration. With more than 2,000 milligrams of electrolytes, vitamins B and C and zinc, coconut water, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, Body Armor Flash IV keeps you performing at your best. Get Body Armor Flash IV at your local 7-Eleven.
Across the Spider-Verse. Apparently there's multiple versions of this movie in theater. Like little tiny edits, which is an interesting takeaway from this week after we we also heard that like a lot of editors worked under very intense, unfavorable conditions, which is very interesting, saying that Lord Miller, they were like really hard on them. That was a thing that got tossed around as well, that they were working way too much, way too long, fixing things, redoing everything. I guess like they didn't have a good understanding of like previs as well. It was a messy article after a pretty successful release of that movie too. Obviously, the movie's crushing.
I'll be honest. If you're a VFX artist, there's no better time to get your nut. You know what I mean? Like you got all the public sympathy in the world. Yeah. Just complain about anything that you can. Just be like literally anything you can think of. Just throw a complaint out in the wind and it'll get picked up. And that would be me right now.
Yeah, like I don't want to diminish their complaints or, you know, make them smaller than what they seem, but waiting 2 weeks, 3 weeks until the movie is very clearly a massive box office success and people are waiting on the second to come out with these complaints feels like a bit of posturing for better pay on the second film,
right?
Better conditions.
Which I would do too. It's smart.
It's a fair play, but also like the hard work paid off. It did. As simple as that.
Right. Thank you. That's the issue I have is like with the Marvel VFX artists, I totally understand their frustration when they say, look, it's not our fault. These movies don't look good. We are given impossible timetables to work with and they don't look good visually. Like, I'm sorry, but if you want something to look great, you have to make sacrifices. Sometimes your day is going to suck. Like as long as these guys weren't being fucking abusive, I don't know. You can fucking leave.
Yeah,
if you don't
I get it to an extent, though. Like
fucking
the level of which
Goose looking at the pyramids just being like, yeah, the hard work paid off. These guys shouldn't be bitching anymore.
They can complain. It's just like it did pay off. Like if I'm – and on the flip side, all the Marvel VFX studios, they constantly complain about the previs. They complain about the previs. And then once Lord and Miller, who don't use previs as – or they don't rely on it the way other studios do – it clearly works for them because Malcolm the Machines was a hit.
For what it's worth, Amy Pascal did deny
those Spider-Verse movies.
Did deny what happened. Yeah, I mean, like, I give you guys, I would also, I side with them a little bit. There is an extent of like, if they're redoing this whole thing over and over 7 days a week nonstop, I imagine their pay was not increased for that. So I do understand that to an extent.
Of course.
Like if that's a complaint, they're saying, I guess the person that came out and said this said that there's no shot that they're going to finish the next one by 2024. They're like, they said relentless revision, unfamiliarity with 3D animation, 6 months of indecision, demands to redo work 5 times. They said they don't think it's going to finish, which I mean, that movie is it in a good way, almost hurts your head to watch it. Cause you're like, how the fuck did they make this? It is crazy. But you're right. It is an interesting time right now. We're in it. Clearly, like that part of the industry,
you got the power,
has the power,
and the public backing, which is as important.
What if they came out like the Flash animators came out? They're like, yeah, they didn't work us enough. We worked one day a week, like 2 hours, day a week. How long did it take to do?
You could go out there and be like, hey, our fucking set didn't have a Keurig machine or something like that. And like, they'd be like, you fucking kidding
Spoiler
me?
Spoiler alert, but it's like, how long did it take you to animate the Christopher Reeves? 5 minutes. We did over lunch.
Yeah.
We were playing ping pong.
We asked them if they wanted us to do more work and they said, nah.
Actually, I did it on my iPad mini.
I did it with the stylus on my iPad mini.
You liked that scene with Michael King? Yeah. I did that on my Nintendo 3DS.
Yeah, I did that. I did that on what's the ripoff Photoshop? It's like GIMP something.
Yeah, GIMP. Photo GIMP.
Yeah, Photo GIMP. I used to use that before Photoshop. Photo GIMP, man, did it stink. Something like that. Yeah, it was like a dog on. Yeah, it was the icon, GIMP. If I remember right.
Yeah, Photo GIMP or just GIMP.
Yeah, which is a rough name.
It really is. Yeah. And then Gooch is labeling the last part of news as the James Cameron corner, which makes
sense. What a week for Jimbo.
Unbelievable.
Beast mode. He went crazy this week. He's a fucking – this is why he's the
awesome
best.
Awesome week for James.
I mean, look, he's the Titanic guy. He said, I'm struck by the similarity of the Titanic disaster itself where the captain was repeatedly warned about ice ahead of his ship and yet he steamed at full speed into an ice field. I mean, rest.
I love when he just shits on the captain so much.
Rest in peace, who did die in that. Times. Obviously, it is a tragedy. Claims he has been on a Titanic more than the captain of Titanic. I actually calculated I spent more time on the ship than the captain did. I like how he said I actually calculated it. Like he's that's a back pocket stat he's had for years.
Yep.
Also,
Trill had a really good take on it. I gotta find
has
it.
Has he truly been on the Titanic more than the captain of the Titanic?
Maybe.
I believe him.
Have you seen?
I believe him.
I bet he has.
Have you seen his iceberg evacuation theory? Like his take. He like he's like, here's how I would have saved everyone on the Titanic. He's like, the captain should have evacuated them onto the iceberg, would have saved them. And like scientists sat down, like sports science guys just sat down and like did the math on it. And like, he's just 100% right.
I mean, I respect it.
So Trill sent me that clip, the one of it's just him going off being like the similarities or whatever. And he just goes, he's the GOAT. Just doing some bragging in this too. Maybe the best entertainer to ever do it. The younger foolish me wanted more authenticity, but the older wiser me realizes that his bombast is the only real authenticity left. The manufactured bullshit of Chloe Zhao and the ilk isn't real. Pandora is real. God is dead and James Cameron killed him. And I was like, you're fucking damn right, Trill. Amen. It is the church of James Cameron.
It is crazy. It is like crazy that he is – Cameron can be a pompous ass, but like he does come off in this as like he's the fucking man. He's
always right.
He just knows.
He's always right.
He's never been wrong once in his life. He is a fucking monster.
Did you see those clips I included that were also going re-viral?
There's some other clips of James Cameron that kind of like resurfaced and went viral. One of him inventing a new type of archery for Avatar.
So funny.
Which is funny. Yeah, they were training their actors for Avatar with Olympic archers. And he said,
you can't do that, James. You're listening, you can't fire an arrow that way, James.
If you're watching on YouTube, you can see this. But they wanted to like basically so like
it's like jumping off the
archery's like, pulled back and like I'm not doing it right, but point is he wanted to be able to like do it like kind of reverse backwards and they told him no. And then James Cameron in the clip, it's behind the scenes of making the movie, he says, yeah, then I just picked up the bow, cocked it back, went pshaw, and then hit it right dead on. The bow's like, all right,
for sure.
They had the video of it.
Yeah, I mean, he did it.
Like, you can't fire an arrow that way, James.
The fucking virgin loser Olympic archers. Meanwhile, the Chad James Cameron, first shot, firing unorthodox. He's a fucking beast.
Wearing his fucking dirt bike shirt. That'll never get old.
Dude.
So that
he's the best.
And then there's another video. This one is just ridiculous. It's him resurfacing, literally resurfacing at the top of the water after doing an expedition down to the Titanic, one of his many he's done. And it's when they were filming the Into the Abyss. That's what it's called, right?
The documentary
that came out like a couple years after the Titanic, a while after Titanic, about like, you know, researching the Titanic and going down there and everything. And Bill Paxton was there, the late actor, because he was going to narrate the documentary and Cameron wanted to see some stuff. And he tells Cameron about 9/11, right after it happened.
Oh yeah.
He's like, it's the biggest terror.
Oh, that's an insane. Yeah. Insane biggest
terrorist
story.
Attack in like history, and he's like, two commercial planes have been hijacked, and it's just Cameron like getting the news, and he just gets off the Titanic. It's a wild clip.
It's so funny.
Yeah, dude, he's such a fucking monster. James, never once in his life.
James and me like, it wouldn't have happened if I was there. That would have believed. Yeah.
No, it wouldn't have though.
It
would not have happened if he was there. Dude, if he was on any of those planes, no chance. Like all of the other planes would have also not hit if he was on one of them. Like, because that's how he would find a way. He would find a way.
Oh my gosh.
Just a fucking monster. I love him so much.
The 180 I've done on James Cameron. Once I realized that he's just like a troll, kind of. That's why.
Yeah.
But he's the most correct troll in existence. You know what I mean? He's never been wrong about anything. He always, like, any shit talk he has, he backs up. A studio comes in and is like, actually, James, you can't do VFX on this and spend your song on a movie. He does it. It makes $2 billion right in their fucking face. And like,
do you know how unsure so many of us were? Not just us, but like nationwide. Like, it's Avatar. Do people still care about Avatar? Like, is that sequel going to even do that well? Fucking billions upon billions of dollars nominated for Best Picture. Like, one of the most massively successful movies of all time. And that's like his off day. You know, I've come to respect the shit. There's almost like a Tom Cruise element in where it's like, dude, I think you're probably crazy. I think you're kind of crazy. But I also think you're probably as good at your job as almost anybody in this industry. And I have to respect the fuck out of you for it.
Exactly. He really is. He is like the last director star. You know what I mean? Like if Tom Cruise is the last movie star, like James Cameron's like the only existing movie, like director star.
I would, yeah, in terms of big budget stuff, I'd still say Tarantino probably has legit, like, you know, people will flock to his movies. But yeah, no, I think you're right.
Yeah, but he's
like,
also he's, a fucking he's weirdo last... that's wrong about stuff, though. So that's the difference between those two.
He's the last event style director. Every time, every time that he directs a movie, it is like it's going to be in the cultural zeitgeist.
So yeah, that's fucking James. Jets, old Jimbo, crazy. That's
I gotta rewatch his episode of Future Man.
I'm gonna watch. James I'm gonna watch the Unity Abyss.
So funny.
I haven't watched that in a long time. Yeah. I haven't seen it, and it's like that's a timely decision to watch.
I like his South Park episode. James Cameron does what James Cameron does because he is James Cameron.
In fact, where spot a lie there, you can't find one. By the way, but people have been because of this whole thing. More people have been watching one of my favorite Cameron movies, The Abyss, and it's been making me happy. They're posting clips of it all over on Twitter and shit. It's fucking nice. Sick.
Things that we were watching on TV or things that we've seen in the last week or so. I have not. Go fully into. By the way, what the fuck is the name of that of the Cameron documentary?
I thought it was Into the Abyss.
No, it's something else. What the fuck is the documentary name? James Cameron. Into the Abyss is just a movie.
I remember seeing clips of that.
It drives me crazy.
Oh, but TV. The Bear season 2 fucking ripped. It's like the best show running right now.
Ghost I think by Abyss. A million Abyss. Miles. Yeah, The Bear. I'm not right. Like I'm not that deep good. Into it, but The Bear season 2 is awesome. It's just an awesome show.
Yeah, I'm 2 episodes.
It's so fucking good.
So good.
I have a feeling I'd like that show too.
The Christmas episode of The Bear is like last 2 years ago, or maybe it was a year ago, when the last season of The Bear came out. When they had the full. Second penultimate episode, that was one full long take. I thought that was like the craziest thing. And then they did that on crack in this season, and they also had the Christmas episode, which was fucking one of the greatest episodes of TV I think I've ever seen. It was so
bad. I wish it was week to week, I will say.
For sure. Oh yeah.
I thought it was.
It should have been.
Full drop.
Righteous Gemstone's doing well too. First 3 episodes. Finally got Baby Billy back, so I'm very happy.
Baby, yeah, people seem to really like Gemstones. And Gemstones is not even like a big critical darling. Gemstones was like kind of like low 80s, mid 80s type thing. And this season, everyone loves a lot. The Gemstones is awesome. I just, they're such funny characters. Everybody plays their character perfectly. It is so fucking funny.
Dude, Edie Patterson's the funniest woman alive. She's like, I think, bar none. Every line she has in that show is laugh out loud. That, she's so
her
good.
Dynamic, and then Tim Baltz, who played BJ. BJ is just so fucking funny.
So good. Oh, dude, from last season, the whole Disney wedding thing is that conversation is one of the funniest scenes of TV I've ever seen. It's so fucking good. Y'all went to Disney and didn't even get married by a legacy character. Well, like who? Mickey Mouse? And fuck Mickey.
That show is fucking incredible. Yeah, it's that time of year though where it's like not a ton of stuff is at, which I get, but summer. But man, the movies are about to start flowing in. I got my tickets for Mission Impossible. Oh, yeah. I'll be back in New York for the Barbie and Oppenheimer back to back. Very excited about that.
It's got a Barbie shirt.
Oppenheimer is going to be my last home game screening at Lincoln Center in New York. That's a good way to go out at that theater. Also, really tough news for me here. I went on the LIMAX app because I'm in California. By the way, people did ask like, what's the difference between Jeff living in California? People, nothing. It's nothing changes here. I'm just doing it earlier in the morning. This podcast. But the one thing does change quite crazily. That's an awesome shirt.
Ooh.
The only really cool or the only real IMAX in my area here is in Irvine, and it's a fucking Regal. So that's, oh, that is That is
Pepsi Jeff, as they call
it. It is a massive disappointment.
How the turntables.
put Pepsi Jeff.
I'm
just saying,
because there is an AMC right by where I live, and it's an awesome AMC, really nice. I'm excited to go there more.
This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
But yeah, the fact that I have to go see, I hate having to go there so much that I almost decided to see Dead Reckoning Part 1 not in IMAX, but then I'm like, I can't do it. Tom Cruise would never in my head, the interview with Tom Cruise that we'll never get, I just imagined him canceling it because like he'd be like, "Hey, did the two guys, did they see the movie in IMAX?" And it's like one of them didn't. I can just see him canceling it. So in that fake scenario in my head, I will go eat that overly salty bad popcorn and drink Pepsi and enjoy Dead Reckoning.
Yeah, I haven't got my tickets yet, but that's because I'm holding out for a screener like an idiot, as if we'd get a screener. Although Paramount, I feel like, has been pretty good with them.
I will say they're Mission 3, very hard to get tickets. Barbie, Oppenheimer, and Mission Impossible.
Oppenheimer, I've given up hope.
Dude, Oppenheimer, what I had to do, because I wanted to see it in the 70mm IMAX, because that's like one of the few theaters in the country doing it. It was sold out like within minutes for the first 3 days, like every single showtime. I just kept checking back on the showtimes like throughout the week, waiting for someone to cancel their ticket. Finally happened.
Yeah. And if you're looking just for one, that's a good idea. I'm going to see it on, I'm actually gone that weekend. So I'm going to have to see it late, but I'm going to see it, I think, on that Monday morning. It's tough. It's not easy to get to, which is cool. It's good to see. No one's doing it again. All right, folks, you hear this? That's me shaking my Body Armor water bottle, my Body Armor sport water. Body Armor, hydrating LCB, hydrating bar stool, all over the office. Offices, plural. And at home. I'm work from home and I got these Body Armor waters. We stocked the fridge with it. Always got it going. And especially the water bottles. That's how we stay hydrated. The wide mouth at the top of those bottles, fantastic. Their sport drink's great as well, too. I like the orange clementine, the Body Armor light, the regular Body Armor. They got the strawberry lemonade. So many variations, so many flavors. I'm an orange guy. I'm an orange flavor guy. A lot of athletes drinking Body Armor. Trae Young, Christian McCaffrey, Alex Morgan, shout out to U.S. Women's National Team. Donovan Mitchell, Ronald Acuna. Fantastic stuff. Great drink. Stay hydrated. Potassium, vitamins, etc., electrolytes. But again, that's sport water. The best water around. I would stake my reputation on that. Add Reed aside. Body Armor water, I'm running to it. No matter what. Flight, car, at home, in the office. The wide mouth, you can guzzle that. You'll be the most hydrated person you know with Body Armor sport water. And in general, with Body Armor. We're Team Body Armor, and you got to get on the ride. Ride the wave, the Body Armor wave, Team Body Armor. Check it out at Amazon, in stores as well, but you can get Body Armor now on Amazon. Guarantee you're going to get it by going to Amazon. Shout out to Body Armor. Again, I'm just going to guzzle this. I'm going through like 3 or 4 a day of the giant bottles. Fantastic. All right, here we go. No Hard Feelings, a very rare comedy movie. You don't get many R-rated pure comedies these days that you could just classify as a comedy. And I mean like not a dramedy, not a rom-com, which I guess like – no, I wouldn't even call it – no, this is some physical comedy, slapstick, raunchy comedy. On the brink of losing her childhood home, Maddie, played by Jennifer Lawrence, discovers – which who hasn't been in a movie in 15 years, by the way. That's my big takeaway. Mm-hmm. What was she last in?
Causeway. Which was last year.
Oh, that was fucking last year. You're right. Literally, I could probably recite word for word. I saw it so recently. Discovers an intriguing job listing. Wealthy helicopter parents looking for someone to date their introverted 19-year-old son, Percy, before he leaves for college. To her surprise, Maddie soon discovers the awkward Percy is no sure thing. Played by Andrew Barth Feldman, who also
Tommy Smokes.
Could have definitely been played by the kid from the movie we saw last week, Asteroid City.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, what's his name? The kid from 8th grade. Yeah. Jack something?
Could have definitely been played by that kid, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, 68% Rotten Tomatoes critic score, 80% by audiences. I thought this was fine. I don't have any real strong opinion on it whatsoever. If you told me our review was over the next 90 seconds, I'd say that's probably fine. I will note though, I'm glad a movie like this gets made. I hope it does well. I think there's a lot of funny in here, but there's also some like a bunch that just flat out doesn't work for me. But again, I like the idea that they've attempted to make a comedy movie because we just simply don't get any of these anymore. We ask that all the time. We've done that recently. We did that with you'll hear it in our interview with Michael Cera. We talked to Christopher Plus about it. Regular comedies just aren't made anymore, and this falls into that bin. While I don't think it's all that great, like I don't know, I laughed at it in spots. It's definitely like a raunchy comedy. I was very surprised by one thing Jennifer Lawrence did that caught me very off guard.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people are going back to see it a second or third time.
Namely Chris Klemmer.
I don't know. Somewhere in the 60s, I think it's funny. I'm gonna say 67 out of 100. I had it between there and a 65. I think it's funny. I think it's fine. Nothing overly offensively bad. It's very similar. I'm trying to see where it slots into the last 10 years. And I literally thought about this movie. I would say same amount of laughs to that joke didn't work ratio as Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar. I gave it the same exact fucking score. Like the same exact thing. Like a lot of funny in it. But also a lot of stuff that doesn't work that completely balances it out to being a below average movie for me. So I'll say 67 out of 100. I had it a little lower, but I didn't hate it too much. I think there's some funny in it. I think she's good too. I think Jennifer Lawrence is good. Yeah. Ken Jack.
She's really good in this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm at a 60 out of 100. I think the bottom line of it is that I don't love the movie, but I like what it represents. You know what I mean? Like that sort of comedy, which is basically the same problem I had with Gene
Stupidity.
Which is like Good Boys. Like he directed Good Boys, where like his comedy is always like it's right there. It's like it's so close to being like what I would consider like a good comedy. That's like something I recommend to people, but it's just not there. It's like it's plateaus very harshly. But I guess like as far as the good things, like I biasedly love the setting, like. Because I obviously grew up on Long Island and like I like seeing all that sort of stuff in like this sort of area because it doesn't really get shown on film a ton. Although the cheapest house in Montauk is probably like $1 million. That was the only thing that maybe got lost in the weeds there. I think the kid, Tommy Smokes, was like the perfect super bad composite character. You know what I mean? He was basically like all three of them mixed into one dude, which I liked. Or maybe not Jonah Hill, but it was the other two definitely mixed into one. And Jennifer Lawrence still got it in every single way. And small roles are cool. Kyle Mooney, I think, was very funny in that small little bit. Like that was a good line. Like what do you say? It's like you're a male nanny or something like that. That was a good line. But I think the ultimate like end of the day joke hit rate is like 25-75%. 25% good, 75% bad. Like not a movie I'm going to be like, hey, go. You're looking for comedy? Go watch this. Like no, all the good comedy is basically on TV now. And that's not really any exception here. But like, again, I like the spirit of it. I like what it represents. Doing a comedy like this, I want more of them on screen. They just got to be funnier. They just got to be funnier than this. And I think that's possible. It just didn't quite achieve it here. But yeah, I'm at a 60.
I'll go. I feel like Chris is going to be the low. So I'll go ahead and go. I'll probably be the highest. I'm at a 70. So not too much higher than you all. But okay. I did find it very, very funny in points where like, if a movie can get me to laugh out loud, like truly laugh out loud multiple times, that's funny to me. Like, because I feel like the comedies for the last 10 years, while funny, it's more of like a, huh, or like a, you know, just kind of exhale out your nose type funny. This was legitimately laugh out loud at points. The boy, Tommy Smokes, what's his name? I don't want to just boil him down.
Andrew
Barth Feldman.
Close, close.
That's brutal. Now that's all I'm going to think of. Fuck. Fuck. This is his first role, right?
Apparently he's big on, he does Broadway stuff. He's from Long Island, which is cool that they cast him in a movie like this.
Very impressive.
He looks like Evan Hansen.
And Tommy Smokes. He did.
Oh, did he really? Okay.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Tommy Smokes and Lil Sass mixed together. Slub mashed up. and in a way he acts just like Tommy. It's very funny. Yes. Jennifer Lawrence, at this point in her career, you kind of look back and you wonder, how did she not land a role like this sooner? Or how is this not written for her sooner? Because I think that's the only big detractor, is like, does this work? Is this over the line at points? Like, is a little awkward how old she is in comparison to him?
It is a little – there's definitely – like, not for me. Sorry to interrupt, but like, I would agree. I think I'm glad you said it. I could see people being turned off by that and be like, that's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, just a little much. At points, it never reaches the point of like, oh, this is disgusting, or like, this is creepy. Like the way – what's the Chris Evans movie with Ana de Armas earlier this year, where that was truly –
They didn't actually act together in that movie, so.
They weren't. They weren't together. Yeah. That was truly creepy, him like stalking her and then playing it off. But this is, like Kinjak said, very, very much proof positive that Jennifer Lawrence still has it. Like, she's great as a comedian. She's fucking a smoke show in this. Like, we got to put that out there. Like, she's just really hot here. And they
we had to.
Well, I mean, it's like a major plot point. She's hot.
I know.
Yeah.
And the Kyle Mooney cameo did crack me up. Yeah, Chris, go ahead. I'm interested to see if you either hated this or liked it.
Okay. No, I had an existential crisis while watching this movie, because the first third. Okay, I just want to preface it by saying Jennifer Lawrence is great in this, like, not just as a comedic actress. She hits all the beats. Like, even when the movie isn't funny, she's good with the comedy stuff. Like, sometimes the material isn't there, but I think she's excellent in this. And look, she was in Don't Look Up, which is like, she was awesome in that too. So like, she's great with the comedy bits. I liked her. This other character, right? This you guys say Tommy smokes. No, Tommy is funny and he's charming. This kid reminded me so fucking much of myself when I was 19 that I was hating the fucking movie. He is a giant fucking pussy. He can't talk to people, and she is begging. I know it's fake, but she is begging for him to fuck her. I mean, just doing like a full court press, like spreading her fucking cheeks, like, please have sex with me. And he's like, yeah, you look very, like, just stop, like, grow a set. Like, it was driving me up the wall watching this guy just fumble the fuck.
You can definitely over meek a character and over, like, I think you're right on that. And that's, I didn't even think about that. You can definitely make a character too. I'm trying to, like, what's another movie similar to, like, what's a similar movie to, like, this?
Well, I think there's multiple Michael Cera movies that were like that back in the day, where it's like, he's a good actor. Now, I love the fact that Michael Cera's done this heel turn where, like, now he plays assholes in movies. I think that's really funny. But, like, there was a period of time where everything he was in, was just, hey, you know, you look nice tonight. It's like, dude, I'm sorry. There's a fine line between being a little bit socially awkward and just being a fucking pussy. And so I was watching. I was not liking him at all. But, man, the second act of this movie, it kind of got to me in, like, an emotional way. I don't know if this is just a bizarre fucking trigger of mine or what, but I found it very sweet, like their relationship, their dynamic. I actually, and you're right, it could have came across as very uncomfortable, very creepy, but they sold it. They actually have legitimate chemistry with each other. And so I got to the end of the movie, and while I do think the final act, I mean, especially the climax of the movie is so goddamn stupid, but I'm like, okay, I don't hate this. I don't even really dislike this. It has one fatal flaw. I just wish it was funnier. I think that structurally, I think it hits the beats it needs to hit. I think the performances are good. I actually thought, and I think he's kind of shitty in most movies, I actually thought Matthew Broderick and Lauren Benanti as the parents were pretty funny in this. So like they were making me laugh a little bit in their limited screen time. So it's hard for me to even really grade it. I somewhere in the 60s, right? Because I know I say this a lot. I do think mainstream audiences will like this more than I will. And when I say that, by the way, it's not me saying, oh, well, I'm just above people with my opinions. It's me acknowledging, like, I have a tendency to be a lot more critical of movies like this than other people do. That doesn't make me right or wrong. It's just, you know, the opinions I have. So it's somewhere in the 60s. I like the performances. I think it's more sincere than I expected it to be. But it's just, like, there's entire bits, entire scenes that I'm like, man, if I want this to work and it doesn't. Like, the scene, I think they show some of it in the trailer, the setup of like him thinking he was kidnapped by her, like at the animal shelter, that could have been really like laugh out loud hilarious. And the way it's directed, the way how long it goes on, I'm like, this is it's not cringy, uncomfortable, unfunny. It's just like, I just don't find this funny. Now, and I guess as a backhanded compliment, I didn't find the movie obnoxiously unfunny. I didn't think that it was trying way too hard, and I was watching it going like, please stop, please go away. I was just watching it saying, yeah, that bit just didn't work for me. That was kind of funny. That wasn't really funny. So it's the definition of just mediocre. It's okay. You know, I can't believe I'm fucking sad. I did not expect. I have no hard feelings towards it.
That's
what I just didn't.
Perfect.
Yeah, but I just I was just kind of whatever.
I think yeah, what you said though, too, it's like I think there's also something to the fact that it is a little, not predictable is the right, but it kind of is. Like it plays out. Like if I would have like dropped like the synopsis on your desk, Ken Jack, and you're like, all right, tell me how this plays out. You probably could have predicted it without much hesitation. Which isn't like the reason why it's. I'm not saying it makes it horrible. I just like you do kind of wish it's like you get. It's like you have an Academy, you know, award actress here. You have Jennifer Lawrence, who is won awards, nominated for awards, great actress, very
she's a movie
funny.
Star.
She falls under that kind of what is like nowadays like a rare like superstar like movie star type thing. You have her. It's like you're making a comedy. They don't make many of these comedies anymore. You have the ability to make it. Like I wish it was just a little more unique in that sense. Like a little more, you could have like, done something a little different because it does kind of fall under some cookie cutter cliche stuff. But I do think it's like if you're looking for a laugh, like this is definitely something worth watching, worth seeing. Like it is funny and I like a lot of the dramedies that have come out in the last 10 years. But there's also a point where it's like, okay, I just want something that's kind of stupid and like a joke, and it can have like nice moments, but give me like the jokey movies too. For every Lady Bird and for every, you know, The Big Sick and all that, and like that has great jokes and big moments, like I prefer just kind of a straight through comedy, which we just don't get as much.
That's why, honestly, like even though I didn't love it, like I kind of want to promote it because the movie's trying to be not an homage, but like a throwback to the 2000s, which is like the greatest decade ever for comedy. And so like I love the idea of this. I just wasn't crazy about the execution.
Yeah. Just needed to be funnier. It was like,
It's
like literally, it just plateaus at a certain like hit rate or whatever, like level of laughs, I guess. Like I'm trying to think of it almost like if you're looking at like an audio file where like the peaks or like the laugh out loud moments, like it's never really gets a good peak. You know what I mean? It's kind of like pretty level, like, huh? Like, you know what I mean? Like that's the best it gets out of me, which sucks, but like still better than most of the other attempts at comedies that'll come out during the year.
Right.
Yeah.
There's another one coming up soon. Joyride. Doesn't that come out in like 2 weeks?
It does come out soon.
We gotta do that. I'm hearing good things about it. I'm hearing it's very funny.
Same.
Anything else?
This also almost passed The Flash this week at the box office. That's which crazy. Is fucking insane. They're doing BOGOs for The Flash.
Yeah, they are doing buy one, get one. That's right. I saw that. Ooh.
That's ooh. Not good.
That's rough. Ooh. That's rough. Yikes.
Yeah, that's just tough.
Is it inching towards John Carter levels of loss?
It's a
$220 million budget.
Is it? Maybe it is.
And then I know it had a massive marketing. Like people are like questioning how the fuck they spent that much money on marketing.
You know how they can get that money back? Make a documentary about the behind the scenes of this movie.
Seriously.
It'll be substantially more fascinating than the actual
movie. It would be quite fascinating to see that movie.
And we'll get it. We'll get it one day. I mean, what a fucking disaster.
The Andy Muschietti pivot to saying, oh, the CGI is ass on purpose was still so funny. So fucking funny.
Andy,
do you think he still ends up directing Brave and Bold?
Really?
I think it comes down to shareholders. I think like they'll just look at this and be like, you lost way too much fucking
loss.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you lost way too much fucking money on this.
It's
this
tough thing. Because
Titanic loss of money even Titanic with, like disappointment of hype.
Exactly. Like if this was good, people would have been like, oh yeah, go see it. It had like an 80% drop off week one to week two. So and audiences we'll clearly didn't like it.
That would be quite the move for Gunn, because Gunn said he loved the movie. And I know he had to say it, but there is an extent of like, Guns find out you like that. I don't know. It's just like it's that that it is messy though. I will say that
it'll be like,
but look at
it'll be like Warner Brothers will sign him on like for a different movie or something, and then he'll be like, "Oh, I'm tied up," and it'll just be like, "This is how we do it cleanly and quietly."
I think it's going to become like Star Wars. We're like after The Last Jedi, they were like, "Oh, we're so happy with Rian Johnson. We're going to let him direct a whole trilogy." Still waiting on it. Like I think that. It wouldn't shock me if something like that ends up happening where I think James Gunn probably wants to keep him on, but to Gooch's point, shareholders.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what a fucking
– old Batman. This is the best superhero movie ever made.
Fucking
– What a fucking mess, man.
I still got to see it. It might be great, but I'll see it this week. But yeah.
I don't know what you'll think about it. I mean, I'm glad I saw it. Like I didn't hate my experience seeing the movie. Like, we had fun with it, and, like...
Just disappointing.
Just a massive disappointment.
If you get nostalgia for those things, like, you're gonna enjoy that, but otherwise, it's... And, man, does it look like ass. There's just something. There's some parts of that movie that look truly so bad.
Like poopy.
Like, shockingly bad.
I think that's what's gonna kill it for me. That shit bothers me so much.
But yeah, but you got to remember that you're seeing the goo human beings because the Flash is moving fast, so it's meant to look like
on
that.
Purpose. Even though the goo human beings look just like the real babies they use in that scene.
So funny,
it's really weird how that worked out.
The fucking layout was there for them. Every like as bad as some of those X-Men movies were post Fox buyout, like everyone still talks That's about the fucking Quicksilver scenes. They always talk about them because they're awesome. It's like the layout was there. The layout is right there. Like how you do it is right there. And they just were like, nope, we're going to put fucking CGI babies.
If that wasn't even Speed Force, like, but that's what immediately disproves everything he says. It's like the stuff that is like, yeah, the goo human beings look that way for a reason. Well, that animation was the same quality as the people who weren't in like the Chromo Dome. You know what I mean? So fucking so stupid.
Terrible. Look, I don't hate that movie by any stretch of the imagination. Like we talked about it at length last week, but man, it's like whether you hate it or not, it looks terrible.
Got a blowjob from C-3PO called that Chromo Dome.
That's a good way to end it. I'll start with Gooch to make up for not saying him off the top. For Gooch and Ken, Jack, and Chris, I'm Jeff D. Lowe. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
At Boar's Head, we've been going back to school for over 115 years. And this year, every school lunch is reason to celebrate with the flavors your kids love and the exceptional quality you expect. Helping you make school lunch fresh, easy and delicious. Ring the bell. The deli is open. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
You should be. Meet the new Lucky One Sweet Tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good.
made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients and a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.